Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Anxiety can be deadly, physically and spiritually. But there's a good kind of anxiety that's important for flourishing in life. In today's study, we'll discover how to tell the difference.
Well, we live in a stressed out world, don't we? Think of how many books and just products and services and all the things that exist just simply for the purpose of helping people deal with all their stress. Yet it seems like the more effort they put into fighting against anxiety, the more anxious they end up being. It's amazing when you think about how much anxiety there is in our culture. We have to be the most indulged, most lavished, most comfortable society that's ever existed, right? You would think that the United States would be the epitome of tranquility, right? We can adjust our cars to the exact temperature that's comfortable to us to the degree. And we have lazy boys and couches everywhere. And we're comfortable and we frequently feast on our favorite foods and have literally every imaginable convenience at our fingertips. And yet, not only are we not a paradise of tranquility, we are very possibly the most anxiety-ridden, worried, anxious, stressed-out, panicked culture there's ever been. I mean, even with all our comforts and all our luxuries and all our conveniences, in the United States alone, we spend $50 billion a year on counseling and drugs to help us calm down. I read this week that 50% of Americans have some sort of anxiety disorder. And there's no end to the names of all the anxiety disorders. There's obsessive-compulsive anxiety disorder. There's social anxiety disorder, panic attacks, post-traumatic stress. There's phobia for this, phobia for just about everything you can possibly imagine. And if you feel left out of all that, they have, for you, general anxiety disorder. No anxiety goes unnamed or undefined. No anxiety goes uncatalogued or undiagnosed. No anxiety goes unmedicated. They all just go unrelieved. After all the counseling and all the drugs and all the medications and all the therapy and all of our luxuries and comforts, we sit back in our plush, comfy furniture and our warm, comfortable castles and worry ourselves sick about how we're going to pay for it all. Jesus had the solution to all that in the closing section of Matthew chapter 6. And this is such an important text of Scripture. I hope you know that this is here. Every Christian should know about the end of Matthew 6. If you don't know your Bible very well, you're a new Christian, you only know, you know, 8 or 10 important chapters in the Bible, this should be one of them. You need to know, or maybe just write in the back of your Bible at least, when I'm afraid or worried, read Matthew 6, 25 to 34. It's such an incredibly comforting passage when you're tempted to worry. And it's one of those passages, like I said in the prayer, it just almost doesn't need any study. It's just on its face comforting. Just read it. Just memorize it and quote it. And it's incredible the calming effect it'll have on your soul. But what makes this such an important passage isn't just that it makes you feel better. I mean, that's the wonderful thing, that it makes you feel better when you're worried. But more importantly, this is a crucial principle because worry is such a destructive sin. It's a sin that dishonors God because it shows God to be untrustworthy or unkind or not very powerful. And on top of that, not only does it dishonor God by portraying Him that way, but worry is the kind of a sin that just branches off into so many other kinds of sins. It causes all kinds of things. For example, if you're worried about money, that's going to lead to all kinds of sins of coveting and greed and hoarding and stinginess and cutting ethical corners when it deals with money or just flat out stealing. If you're worried about what people think of you, you're going to be tempted with sins of becoming self-absorbed or maybe dishonest in the way that you portray yourself. If you are worried about succeeding in some task, you have anxiety about some task before you, you're going to tend to become irritable, short, abrupt, easily angered, right? When we're worked up about something we need to get done. If you have anxiety about relationships, that can make you be tempted to be withdrawn or indifferent to caring about other people's needs. It's just a sin that causes so many other sins in our lives. It's a killer. Anxiety is a killer. And I don't just mean physically. We know physically anxiety does a lot of harm to your health. But beyond that, it destroys your spiritual life. It really does. In fact, in Matthew 13, Jesus told a parable about the soils. Remember the parable of the soils? Different kinds of human hearts that receive God's word. And you got the good heart, and you got the stony ground heart, and you got the hard ground heart, and then you get the weedy ground heart. And then Jesus gives the interpretation of all those. And when he gets to the thorny, weedy ground, he says, here's what that means. Verse 22 of Matthew 13, the one who received the seed that fell among thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. That word translated worries is the same word here in Matthew 6. The worries of life, they don't just make your life a little more unpleasant. They choke out the work of the Word of God from your heart and just cause you to wither and die. Worry is a tremendous spiritual problem. And so Jesus commands three times in this section, do not worry. Verse 25, therefore, don't worry about your life. Verse 31, so do not worry. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. So it's not hard to see what he's getting at here. Don't worry. And you can tell how important this is to Jesus by his style. He really slows the pace down here. It's, in my opinion, this section of Matthew 6 just stands out like a sore thumb in the whole Sermon on the Mount. It's a different style. Everything else in the Sermon on the Mount is so brief and concise, even proverbial. Jesus just states it, moves on, and moves next thing, new topic, new topic, new topic, and he just goes really fast from topic to topic. In fact, Jesus' entire teaching on divorce and remarriage in the Sermon on the Mount, two verses. He's just going fast from topic to topic, but then when he hits the subject of anxiety and worry, he slows way down, switches to a whole other style, and he has lots of illustrations and just fills it out with explanation. He really wants us to get this. The word translated worry, it's a very broad term, covers all kinds of anxiety. It can refer to worrying about the future. It can refer to fretting about your current situation right now, here and now, in the present. In fact, it even includes the idea of just being distracted with stuff. You know, it's the word that Jesus used when he told Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about so many things. Only one thing is needed in Luke 10. Now that word worry, it's the same word. He said you're just caught up with all the peripheral issues of getting the meal together and all that, and you're distracted from the one important thing. So it's not so much that she was worried, she was just distracted. There are people who, they're not worried about the future, they're not afraid of what's going to happen, they're not really stressed out about the present, but they're just plagued with distraction about earthly, temporal concerns. They're just distracted. They're not afraid of anything, anxious about anything. Their lives are just so invested in this world that they can't pray or study God's Word or think on things above for 10 minutes without their minds running off into thinking about money or food or the car or the house or some health issue or work or sports or some other trivia that is just nowhere near as important as the thing it's distracting them from. So whether it's worry about the future or anxiety about the present or just distraction because of earthly concerns, whatever it is, Jesus commands us three times, dump it. Just dump it. Get rid of anxiety. But he doesn't just tell us to get rid of anxiety. He tells us how, thankfully. He's going to give us several principles here on how to drive out anxiety. So we're going to talk about how to drive it out. But before we talk about how to drive it out, we need to make sure we understand what it is exactly that we're driving out. Because we don't want to drive out the wrong thing. Because there's a good kind of anxiety and a bad kind of anxiety. And you don't want to drive out the good kind. The good kind you need. The good kind of anxiety, you need that to keep you motivated, to keep you moving in life. If you get rid of the good kind of anxiety, maybe a better word for it would be concern. You get rid of that, and all you're left with is just apathy, which is bad. Then you can't move. You don't do anything. Several times this word worry appears in a positive context. It's not always a bad thing. For example, in the book of Philippians, that word appears twice in the book of Philippians. Once the bad kind, once the good kind. Bad kind, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay, that's the bad kind. But then in chapter 2, verse 19, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. That whole phrase, takes a genuine interest, that's this word. He's worried about you. I don't have anybody else like that. Timothy's great. He's one of a kind. He's worried about you. And that's the good kind. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that people in the body of Christ, in the church, should have concern for one another. Same word. 1 Corinthians 7, a married man is concerned about how to please his wife. Same word. So, the kind of anxiety that cares deeply about other people, that's the good kind of worry. It's good to be preoccupied with the concerns and the needs and the interests of others. That's a good thing.
Anxiety is emotional energy. It's designed to get us moving. It's the opposite of apathy, which is when you just don't care enough to do what you ought to do. Timothy was known as a man who had good anxiety for others. He cared so much about their troubles, it got him moving. His good anxiety was enough to move him to set aside his own comforts when necessary to meet the needs of others. How are you doing with that kind of anxiety? Are there some people around you, in your family, in your church, neighborhood, workplace, anywhere in your circle with whom you believe God would have you become more energetic in your concern for their welfare? What would that look like in your life right now?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.